This week on Yard Info, Masters of Misinformation, the Manat saga continues. Those striking teachers, hot sex in hot tubs at hedonism.
Okay, thank you, Nicole.
Thank you so much, Nicole. Your mama sounds stronger every on the podcast. I like it. Yeah, Info. Andrew, what's going on?
Oh, I'm here, man.
How has last week treated you, my brother?
Boy, I didn't know that we'd come back and be doing the same thing again.
You mean the podcast?
The Manat podcast.
Oh, okay. You know I look forward to the podcast.
Yeah,
come on.
Yeah.
You mean the Manat Phelps and Phillips issue?
Manat Phelps and Phillips, the Ringling Brothers Circus is back in town.
Ringling Brothers, this is the worst of circus. Because at least I treat the animal with respect than the circus. Eh? We are not being treated well at all. Oh, this the animals in Jamaica aren't being treated well at all. Me feel like you're starving and you're flagging.
Well, as you talk about animals, I hear Sir Roger Clark say, boy, this administration turn everybody in a canine. We ain't see anybody in our yard, some old things here. Them
Roger,
say, rough,
Roger,
rough,
no.
Rough. It rough,
Roger,
rough,
Roger.
Rough.
And everybody look like Roger. Come on, man. That's true. Roger have a special canine look, you know, from long time.
Some's a red pole,
but no, I mean, this is not a small issue. This is a big issue, Andrew.
Oh yeah, this is
what
very important.
What has occurred here is tantamount to something catastrophic. If this was a democracy that was being run with any sort of moral authority,
in some democracies, this prime minister would be impeached.
Impeached, long time lockdown, run out of place.
Yeah,
people be rioting in the streets. But this is Jamaica, you know, we special, right? You know, we special. But listen,
I
sanctioned this whole thing.
You did?
I sanctioned it.
You vote for him?
You can't imagine the PM saying I sanctioned something like this, Virgin.
That's big news.
Huge news!
Huge.
All right, Angela, I want you to run down the timeline for me using the Gleaners.
Hey.
The Gleaners expose today. Give us an idea of the timeline from when this issue came to the fore and how much different shifts and changes has taken place since it came up.
I'm very thankful for today's issue of the Gleaner. That's May 13th, 2010. The unfolding of the Manat saga. Hey, and Johnny, guess what?
What?
I went online because I usually read the Gleaner online.
Yes.
As they say, I have a printout here.
Yes.
Go online, found this thing and say, all right, I'm going to print this off later.
Mm-hmm.
Would you imagine that I went online at 12 o'clock and the article was no longer an online version?
What you said to me? Then take it off.
All right.
Da-da-di. What is going on right now? Come off.
You know, I make no allegations. I don't know what's going on, but I can just tell you guys clearly.
Well, them can't take out the podcast, you know.
And them
can't the come try to take out my podcast.
And them can't take it out of the paper with them print already.
So read the things then. What do we have already?
Listen, March 16, 2010, an angry Golan responding to Dr. Phillips.
Wham, sir?
Let me make it quite clear. The government of Jamaica has not engaged any legal firm, any consultant, any entity whatsoever in relation to any extradition matter other than deploying the resources that are available within the Attorney General's department. All right, March 17th.
Yes.
This is Harold Brady while he was under pressure.
Mm-hmm.
It was an error through a footnote that was corrected last year. This issue is not to be confused with another that is on the
this
table.
Is Mr. Brady now using his sly tongue.
That's okay. Right. I mean, they're lawyers, you know. What
yes, man.
A defiant information minister, Daryl Vaz. This is also on March 17th.
Mr. Vaz, him.
The government has no contractual arrangement with Brady, with Harold Brady and Company, or any other private law firm in relation to the current extradition matter.
Jack D. Nimble.
Yeah, but you don't say
Jack D. Quick.
Cock, mouth, kill cock.
Yes, man. What's a Jack B. Nimble?
Huh?
Call him, you know.
Jack B.
Nimble. March 18, 2010, Golan's initial movement. Further to my statement in Parliament on Tuesday, I have made investigations to ascertain whether the government has had any connection with the U.S. law firm Manat Phelps and Phillips.
So you know, sir? The PM knows him know what is going on. All of this time from way, way, way. And no matter what, he might launch investigation in himself.
Hear the continuation.
Hello.
I am advised that in December, while on a flight to Washington, D.C.
Him is advised.
For a meeting with the U.S. State Department and Justice Department, the Solicitor General was approached by Mr. Harold Brady.
So
on
Mr.
A flight
Brady take it upon himself now.
In December. Just take it upon himself. He introduced this man to Manat Phelps.
After the
Phelps.
Government know how integral he means to certain things.
Okay.
Still heavy.
He stated that this firm had represented the government of Jamaica in the past and suggested that they could provide assistance in relation to the treaty issues between Jamaica and the USA. You remember what I talked about last week?
Yes.
With regards to Manat Phelps and Phillips working with the Jamaican government as far back as 1985.
All right.
Yeah? So, as far as Mr. Golden was concerned, on March 18th, Mr. Brady happened to meet the Solicitor
and
General.
And that's the information he was given.
That's the information he was given.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he knew nothing about this. He didn't sanction this. They just happened to meet on a flight going to D.C.
Galang with it.
All right. On March 24th, Vaz's report. Vaz announces that Brady had submitted documents to the cabinet, which he claimed confirmed that the error... which indicated that Manat was working on behalf of the government of Jamaica had been corrected. Again, we spoke about this last week. 2 days after Dr. Peter Phillips said, listen, something is awry here.
Something is amiss here.
Yeah?
Something is a
Manat, Phelps and Phillips redid the FARA document to say they are no longer representing
the government of Jamaica. Okay.
That's something we didn't get to speak about last week, which was very important, was that Manat Phelps and Phillips also sat in on a meeting with the United States
Department of Justice. Yes.
And our Solicitor General. Now, there are a couple of questions that this leaves in anyone's mind.
Yes.
One, if this is a party issue and not a government issue, why is the Solicitor General of the government meeting with Manat Phelps and Phillips? Shouldn't it be a representative of the JLP? Also,
definitely.
Someone from the State Department went on to say, when we were told that Manat Phelps and Phillips were just sitting in,
yes,
that is rubbish.
Because
there's no way that a law firm can sit in on a meeting with the US State Department unless they are representing
the
someone
government.
Who is in that meeting.
Makes sense.
And let me ask another question here. When the whole issue came up, Nicole.
I'm sorry.
Yes.
Before you do that, we have someone online who wants to know if they can get the link to the podcast.
Oh, definitely. The podcast is at yardinfo, yaadinfo.podomatic, podomatic.com. Remember, you can email us at yardinfo@gmail.com and leave your voicemails at 206-333-1769. Johnny.
Yes. And Julie, information right there. What do you think, Nicole?
How about if they wanted to watch,
if you wanted to see
Gmail.
The podcast on Gmail?
Oh, you can watch it live, qik.com/DrewHugh.
Okay,
we're
so
live
that's for
right
the people
now.
Who are interested in seeing us live right now. It's not really pretty. We don't have a bosses to the yet, but you don't know we start all the thing real soon. Our podcast, the thing, I make sure so they get information right away. One of the things I found interesting, Andrew, was that the Prime Minister, who is the head of the JLP, who is the Member of Parliament for
the constituency,
where the strong man,
a certain gentleman,
is holding down the strong place,
is to be extradited.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Well, you up now. Is saying that pretty much we should separate the PM from the PM position from the position of head of the JLP.
Ask the PNP. You remember that quote?
Yes, but I'm saying to you, That is difficult.
So
because the JLP is the ruling party.
Isn't what is happening now reminiscent of a certain leader saying, ask the party, and now they're saying, this is a different thing, this is not the government, this is the party, ask the JLP?
Yeah, it's very difficult.
How can you separate the two entities?
After you've lied to us, literally.
On several occasions.
Yes, to ask us now to separate the two. Mm. Because, come on now. You're not only the leader of Jamaica, you're the leader of the JLP and the member of parliament for the area.
You don't have a hand in the matter, you know. You have two hands and one foot in the matter.
The man's talky like
when
you ever seen the man, you ever seen the tar baby yet?
Mm.
But it's tar baby, I try to get himself out of that. I push the other hand on the tar.
He cannot move. Every move he makes, make it worse.
Alan fired him, putting it in there, you know.
But, Johnny, let's get to the meat of the matter.
Me take me to the meat already. But go on.
Yesterday, May 12th.
Mm.
Or What should I class him as? The prime minister, the leader of the government, or leader of the JLP?
I don't know what capacity he was speaking in, but he was in parliament. I'm assuming he was speaking as prime minister.
And let's get into what happened yesterday, Johnny. What is your recollection of what happened in parliament yesterday?
What? You mean yesterday, as in who was speaking yesterday afterwards? Because it wasn't yesterday that he made the pronouncement.
The day before.
It was the day before.
Yes.
Because something interesting happened in Parliament yesterday.
Okay, let's start with the 11th of May.
The 11th of May, uh-huh. The Prime Minister ceased the questioning. He wanted to allay all fears,
mm-hmm.
and decided that he was going to, according to Mr. Bartlett, be honest about the situation.
Finally.
And revealed that he sanctioned, he
what you saying?
Himself sanctioned.
No man, that can't be correct.
What do you mean?
Because remember, you know, Harold Brady just happened to buck up on the Solicitor General upon a plane and tell him about this thing. Now, if you're telling me that he sanctioned it, that means that this took place a long time ago in a meeting of JLP executives and they decided that they would engage the law firm. So,
right.
So Johnny, you're wrong, man.
So, hold on. So we know now that there was no bucking up.
Panoply.
Right. And we do know now, too, that Miss Lightbourne's statement, let me read it right here, sir. Miss Lightbourne's statement is ridiculous. This is a statement that Miss Lightbourne made on Nationwide Radio 97 FM. This, the first time I heard the name of this law firm was when Dr. Phillips raised the issue.
Oh, my goodness.
In Parliament.
Well,
lies, all lies.
Oh, come on. I mean, maybe she wasn't at the meeting.
Dorothy. No, man, honestly, come on.
And then yesterday now, in Parliament, you said something
yes,
of significance happened.
Yes, uh-huh. Man. The shadow minister or the opposition minister for is the minister
justice or security?
Security.
Yeah, you're talking about Peter Bunting.
Peter Bunting. Uh-huh. Thank you, Andrew Gutting. Mr. Bunting yesterday made some very scathing remarks, very sharp remarks,
mm-hmm.
in relation to the issue.
Yeah.
Saying that the nation has lost confidence in the present administration.
Many people.
So much so that it is looking quite almost as if there is some collusion.
Yeah.
Some kind of
Anki-panki. Between.
Going on between the ruling party and
a certain
criminal elements.
No, say it isn't so.
I'm true. And it created quite an uproar. Mr. Holness, the Minister of Education. Stood up quite staunchly against those allegations.
Right.
But, obviously, with what took place with the Prime Minister saying what he said, it is looking very difficult
very
to try and take yourself away from
very indefensible
that kind of
when your
assertion.
Own leader has already come forward to say that, listen, all that has been said in the past have been lies.
Well, I submit that it is going to be very difficult for Mr. Golding to can rebuild the trust with the people. I'm telling you why. Because this is a man who was a part of formed the National NDM, National Democratic Movement.
Yes.
At the time for forming the National Democratic Movement.
What did he say?
We remember when Mr. Golding said that he was sick and tired
of
the old time politics.
The garrison
that,
politics.
That this was a party where they were going to shed all of that.
That's right.
And to shed, and not only that, but also to speak the truth.
At all times.
At all times.
Yeah.
And to even talk about their own participation in the development of garrison politics.
But to add to that, even when he came back to the JLP,
yes,
it was with the caveat that the JLP were going to adhere to many of the tenets that were used to form the NDM.
That is true.
Right? So he used that basically. Now we're realizing that it was all just a facade. He was just using it as smokescreen. To say, listen, I need to get back in power because I need to win a seat in parliament and I need to be prime minister one day. That's how it seems to many people right now.
You're listening to Yard Info right here, a podcast talking about the issues. I mean, also, I guess some more people listening in right now. I keep the thing jiggy, keep the thing going. We're talking about the man at Phelps and Phillips issue. The whole thing was taking Jamaica by storm. And of course, let me tell you something. If you think that the average man in the street is not talking about this, then you're making a sad mistake.
On everybody's
lips. The street vendor, the man, the cat man, the boss man, everybody, car people, the nurse can't get their money. And the money in a parliament and lie to people.
And Johnny, let me tell you, you know, at GLP and PNP people vex, you know.
Yes.
But we don't want anybody to have any kind of inkling that this is some kind of political attack or some partisan attack.
Yes.
We have, I have so many friends on Facebook
who are staunch GLP
supporters.
Jojo.
Who are, this is the word that they're using, disappointed. They are so disappointed.
I fear that there's an implosion happening.
Oh man.
No, in the GLP. And I suspect that this reserved kind of attitude that is being taken now.
Mm-hmm.
If you notice, Mr. Golding has not really put himself out there since he made the statement.
And Carl Samuda has reflected that in a couple of statements as well.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm.
They have called for his resignation.
Several people, including the PNPYO, also the PNP itself has called for
the opposition.
Resignation. Mm-hmm. And there are other people from different sections of the society that have been calling for it. I suspect that we won't see that. And I'm going to tell you why. Andrew, we won't see it.
I agree with you.
We won't see it because it is not the kind of politics that we run in this country. We don't.
Our opposition is...
Our politicians useless. Have proven time and time again that they really have...
I
understand why the Prime Minister wanted to remove...
Is that the term we're looking
for? I understand why the Prime Minister wanted to remove most honourable...
Okay, from the title.
Yes. Mm-hmm. No, I understand.
Because there's nothing honorable about these kinds of actions.
And it's all coming full circle.
Yeah.
So, Mr. Prime Minister, if you just want to seem like an average person who can do anything and get away with it. I mean, it is really coming to fore now. So, let's see what happens. I think this won't die until the issue dies.
They're hoping it dies a natural death and it's not going to happen.
It can't die a natural death until you deal with the Dodders issue.
That's right. But even then, I think it has left a bad taste. It has left a stain that it's indelible. Many people will not forget this when time comes to stick their finger in another indelible ink.
So let us call a spade a spade. We are now living in the Republic of Jamaica. Jamaica is now a republic. Because
mm-hmm.
we really don't have a prime ministerial system anymore. I submit that we
have
a president.
Well, that is true, you know. We have a president.
And we now know that he is running the country.
That is right.
He is.
We the mere subjects.
We are the subjects. Uh-huh. So it's the Republic of Jamaica.
That's right.
And we know exactly where the head office is.
That's right.
Not Garden House.
We don't have to say where it is. We just know we can't say where it's not.
The only person who knows exactly where it is the only man that I've tried to go in there. Rene Tomita. So that is it. And we're going to end the issue of Man at Felt and Flips here. We're going to move on to other issues and topics we have on the show today. And, of course, I'm told we have an interesting interview coming up. And I'm not going to talk too much about it until she gets here. But we have another topic to move on to right now, and that is...
Hot sex.
Hot sex in hot tubs at hedonism?
Nothing wrong with that.
Well, listen,
just to make it clear,
that was a question, because we don't know for sure what's going on, yeah?
I mean, hedonism?
This one seemed to have flown under the radar, because this has been taking place since last year.
You know, Mr. Butch Stewart has been ensuring... I'm going to talk about Mr. Stewart, too.
Uh-huh.
Mr. Stewart has been ensuring that this story has stayed in the Observer for months. If you haven't seen it, that is true.
That is where I found it.
Exactly.
And as a matter of fact, I found as many as 3 articles on it in the Observer.
And I call his name because we all know he owns the paper. But I'm saying it's been in the Observer constantly for months. And because there's so many other issues going on in Jamaica, and the average person really don't care. I mean, how much people can afford to get that hedonism? Getaway. But the truth is, it's a real stink. And if you know about it, I think it started when some guest or somebody from Florida side sent an email about the Issa properties, a particular property.
I believe to a travel magazine. They sent emails or correspondence to a travel magazine.
Yes.
Basically, detailing experience of either witnessing...
Or being a part of.
Of. Some.
Very open and explicit sexual activity.
In.
in
some very open hot tubs.
Hot tubs.
Now, of course, Mr. Issa has taken issue with this.
Yes, and he's sued.
But what strikes me as strange is that he seems to be suing. The lawsuit seems to have been filed against the United States, the U.S. state, because the travel magazine,
right?
They're saying that the information originated in the U.S. state of Florida.
Mm-hmm.
So his lawsuit is actually against
the
state of Florida.
You take on the state of Florida, you know. And a little something you take on, Mr. Issa.
And I'm wondering how on earth he plans or expects to win something like that.
Well, I tell you what the state did.
Uh-huh.
I know for a fact, I was reading that the state had in fact hired private investigators themselves.
Right.
To visit some of the properties owned by Mr. Issa.
What?
Yes.
What did they find?
And a lot of things have been revealed. In fact, a lot of the case have kind of churned up a lot of ugly information that Mr. Issa really, really didn't want.
So I bet they didn't let sleeping dogs lie.
Sleeping dogs lie, including finding hashish on the Zane, which is the yacht owned by, of course, his daughter.
His daughter.
I don't know if he sold it at the time.
Uh-huh.
But that story kind of hashed up as well.
Oh, out of I see what you did there.
You see what it's a pun on the word
that's
hash.
That's right, that's
yeah,
right.
Look at school, look at school.
Yeah, man.
And also, it was revealed that there's actually a private investigator
mm-hmm.
who went to stay on one of the properties and did, in fact, record and see and report mm-hmm. in court
mm-hmm.
On some of the more
salacious activities.
Well, you see your remember the you know mm-hmm. the yeah, salacious. Salacious.
Hey, one of the things that we're also finding is that John Issa seems to be very litigious, if you think salacious was big, eh?
Yeah.
Because he's admitted to having sued overtime Lisa Hanna.
What?
Carlene, the dancehall queen.
What?
And Tony T. Rob Robinson. I think Tony Robinson writes or wrote for the Observer.
So where's well. Tony for? Where's little Tony? Where's Tony for? Tony Karachi, I'm up on my motel room. Them what? He's so dancehall queen Carlene.
Dancehall queen Carlene.
Robot sex in the room.
So, you know, Mr. Issa seems to like having his time in court.
Like for talking in court.
Apparently.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm just wondering how you think something like this would reflect on Jamaican tourism.
You know,
if it does
quite
at all.
Frankly, I don't think it will at all. Mm. I mean, let me tell you something straight up. Now, I don't know what anybody knows about going on a vacation. But when you go on a vacation
mm-hmm.
at a place called hedonism,
mm-hmm.
I'm sorry,
by its very definition,
be wicked. Mm. The slogan is, be wicked for a day or a week
exactly,
or whatever
right
time.
Like
now, listen. I expect to see any and every nightmare thing. And if you have a naked part
uh-huh.
at the hotel, which you do,
yeah,
then it suggests it's a free up kind of vibe.
That's right.
You
that's
know what
right.
I mean? So if you take off your clothes and show all your private parts and hang out and show.
But doesn't it suggest that Mr. Issa is then wasting time because this is something that people expect to be at the hotel?
Well, I guess you see, Mr. Issa, as those hotels are very in the international standards mm-hmm. for even a hotel like that.
Right.
Right. So you don't know Mr. Issa wants to protect himself and get more people to come to him place. But all I'm saying, my brother, is the hotelium hedonism Stacious is in the building. Stacious was so chatty.
Come into my room, Stacious.
In your room, you can tell some Andrew, we're Africa fighting the car. You don't know my room. My room won't come in that. So yes, in my team, they won't come in my room.
Johnny Room Show. Alright.
Hey, Andrew, you
have forgot the video?
Yeah, you have to promote yourself. You have to promote yourself. Can improve my life.
So would you change the topic from hot sex in the hot tub to hot sex
with Stacious in the room? No, yeah, that wouldn't be a topic, you know.
Oh, okay.
That wouldn't be a topic, you know. No, that's not a movie. No, but all I'm saying is,
mm-hmm.
I think, really, that we should, it's a case that won't go anywhere. We know in Jamaica, people have fun in Jamaica, Bridget. So when we go on a vacation, it's for fun. It's for free up yourself, release a thing, Lego your thing, and rare.
Uh-huh.
Now, I wouldn't want to go in at the jacuzzi after smelly done. I see.
Thank you very much. I see nothing afloat.
Float up. You know what I mean? So what I suggest is, I hope them have a system workout. For, you know, say, look here, don't be fooled. When you go to a hotel,
yeah,
3 hours ago, somebody just done use that room.
Yeah, you just don't know what did that go.
Yeah, you just
know. But them say, why are you not see that?
Yeah, so from the linen, them change and everything change and the room clean out. And why you're a room now?
Listen to me,
the
people.
That it's a hot tub, you know, heat.
Somebody tub them not so hot, you know.
Hello, you're calling people things germs, they're not germs.
Somebody tubs them not so hot.
They're living organisms, but they're not germs.
Well, I'm hoping that they're good hygienic standards at the hotel. And they should know this, right?
Yes.
So all those slides and those pools and those jacuzzis are
sanitized
on a regular basis.
On a regular basis.
All right, Nick. Let's move on to the next topic. But before we do, I just want to remind our listeners that we're at yardinfo@gmail.com. That's yaadinfo@gmail.com. You can leave a voicemail at 206-333-1769. What's the next topic?
Our teachers. Those striking teachers.
Many parents are thinking along those lines. Okay. Listen, simple take.
Yes.
Every time teachers strike, police strike, nurses strike, anybody strike, it's the innocent people that bear the brunt. We are the ones who are punished. All I'm saying is, we have a legal system. It may not be perfect, but carry the government to court. You have written contracts and documents that say they are supposed to pay you X amount over X period of time. Yeah? This is something that can be challenged in court. Why are you going to strike and have our kids who, by all
facts out there,
not necessarily the sharpest tools in the shed.
Right.
And you are going to deprive them of a couple of days of school, which can be very significant, especially for those doing exams.
Let me say something. I have no problems with the teachers expressing their disgust with their situation. They are owed that money.
I agree.
I went to school too. If I missed 2 days, I didn't miss a couple of days.
But Johnny, you're not all that tough,
parents,
man.
Parents take away.
You're the, tough enough, but
people
not
take
that
away
tough.
The pity from school for days and the pity them miss nothing. All I'm saying is, teachers. I agree. Take 2 days to show the nation. Because, see, apart from the government, you need to impress upon the nation, the parents who tend to pick them to school, I'm affected by this. Mm-hmm. And I don't think, because we've become such a nation of, if something happened, you know, think about it, you know. If it happened to you.
Yeah, we become complacent. But then, Johnny, what are the parents going to do?
Angel,
what are we going to do?
Let me tell you what parents can do.
Mm-hmm.
Because parents should be on the teacher's side. And I'm saying should because teachers are parents too. And they have their own children and they have their own bills. And if they're not being paid their money.
Yeah.
They can't live the kind of life that they'd like to live.
That's right.
So remember, you know, you have teachers who are passionate about teaching. They're not just doing it to get a paycheck.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Right? So those teachers who are passionate about teaching are the ones who I'm sure, even though they strike for 2 days, are going to catch up with their students. But the strike is necessary to show the nation and the government that they're serious about this.
But you
situation.
Have many people who would argue that for every teacher who's still passionate about teaching, you probably have 2 or 3 now who aren't passionate again.
Yeah, well, we
they're just there to collect the paycheck.
And the very government, is responsible, and I'm blaming them for this, for the brain drain that has hit this country.
I agree with that 100%.
Good teachers
100%.
Who would like to remain in the classroom here in Jamaica, but them want to forget them money to drive them car
there's
to.
No way you can expect quality education and not be willing to pay.
Give me
what
good teachers me know right now. I teaching at British schools and I go under serious heavy pressure from
you have many
the
good teachers who have gone into the private
them
sector.
Live in Jamaica and take the pressure and buy the bowl and the bread for feed themselves at daytime.
But I still maintain, Johnny, that striking, I mean, what has changed? What has changed? And by the way, 2 days before Teachers Day, and I make sure they come back Teachers Day so they can get them presents.
And they never get much.
No, man, them get well for present, man.
The primary school teacher never get much.
And I make it worse.
Prep school teacher get plenty.
But you see, these are the things that people are complaining about. And what has changed? Have they received any funds from the government?
No, not yet.
Now, don't you think that if this is something that's taken to court, then based on a decision of the judge, the tribunal, whatever it may be, then the government will have to take action. And at the same time, we can at least have our students
I'm agreeing that this thing needs to go to court. Mm-hmm. The teachers need to find a way, a solution outside of striking, because they can't strike every day.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm saying, if it is that you need to prove that, hey, we are valuable, this is how valuable we are,
mm-hmm.
by shutting down the entire country for a day or two, I'm saying, fine, go. As a teacher, I can understand that. Because guess what? The teachers, you know, teachers need to, sometimes you have to do something physical to appease yourself. In other words, if I don't do this, I won't be comfortable. I'm not going to feel like
it. All right, but then on the issue of how valuable they are.
Yes.
Our Education Minister, Andrew Holness, had to make an apology and an impassioned plea on behalf of Audley Shaw, who many people would rightly argued as to how valuable these teachers are when...
You mean wrong move?
Wrong move. A wrong move him name now, because he have so many names. Man,
wrong move, me call him.
Wrong move.
Mm.
Okay, well, listen. He argued, and many people would agree, that with our students ranking at the bottom of all the lists in the Caribbean.
Yes.
On a consistent basis over the past couple of years.
Yes.
Maybe the teachers' work isn't as valuable as we'd like to believe. Maybe they also need to step up their game. I mean...
I wouldn't blame the teachers totally.
No.
I wouldn't blame the teachers totally for that.
But do you think they deserve any blame at all?
I do. Mm-hmm. But I think the system is to be blamed as well. For instance, you can set up a system, a reward system, so that a better system, so that teachers have
can be compensated,
uh-huh. one. And two, that they are regulated mm-hmm. much better.
Mm-hmm.
So that you find out, for instance, who those assistants that rewards the best teachers and pushes teachers in a direction that they work harder at getting their students.
But they have resisted that, though. They have resisted anything that any incentives that may be tied into the kind of results that they get from
I submit that
students.
Just like how you pay specialist teachers more.
Yeah.
That if you started to reward teachers, for instance, who... get, you know, for years, like a teacher getting
80-90%
pass rate. Uh-huh. If you started to award that teacher more money, simply because she'll make more students pass, I guarantee you'll have more teachers following in her footsteps.
I'm not
to try and step
following
those
her
numbers.
Because they want, you know, but what a bad man. Just that she know more than me.
So whatever the incentive is,
whatever it is.
All right, listen.
We have guests in our podcast right here. Michelle, of course, is here with us. And so we hear our voice, the sounds change. Big up yourself. And Statius, we want to invite her inside the room. So Statius, come on into
come
my
in,
room.
Come into Johnny's room. Because you don't want to come into my room.
Baby, come. Come into my room. Come, Statius. Girl, come over. Let me tell you from top. You will have me weak. No, Statius. Come here, my darling.
The stool can't hold me.
No.
Because you know my body can't hold me.
No, my camera has everything. Yeah. No. Like it.
Push that something in the old thing.
Jesus, make us find the word.
I'm an headphone thing, man. Yeah,
headphone. Yeah. Mash up the glasses. Yeah, my glasses. Just mash up. Yeah, just mash up the glasses.
For yourself, I can buy more.
You know. Christ. Jesus, I want another friend with me tomorrow. Yeah. You know, see how we... Statius!
Hi, honey.
Welcome to Yard Info. That's Mr. Andrew Hewitt.
I'm Andrew.
Of course, we also have Nicole in the place.
Pleasure to meet
and
you.
And, of course, we have Michelle in the building as well.
Michelle from the next...
Yeah, man. So we're here back in the place, Yard Info.
That's right. We have Statius with us.
Thank you for having me.
Statius, it's a pleasure. My pleasure, my darling.
My pleasure being here. I've never met a real-life movie star before.
Just me! I'm realizing!
Why don't you just come out and live it toward them? Them look like they must want some space and time for themselves.
See, when I go in that room, I say,
that's what makes
up. Hey, listen,
that's
Statius.
Talk into that mic, which is facing, so she would have to face.
They just look straight in them eyes, I mean. All right, I don't want to distract you, but Statius, I have to say that you've been doing very well.
Thank you so much.
And we congratulate you.
We
hope for the best that you have a lot more success. But what are some of the projects you have in the pipeline?
Well, I'm working on a project now with Dean.
Dean being Dean Monday of Vigilante
Something
Studios.
Something secret. But it can't be secret for long, right? And of course, I have lots more singles promoting. There's Rooftop, the Rooftop Rhythm, produced by ZJ Rose.
Okay.
Right, which my song is entitled Just Do It. And there's Can't Stop Me From Shine, which is a motivational track that I recorded, especially for the kids, because I don't think
wonderful.
As dancehall artists we realize that our main listeners are really the teenagers and the younger ones.
Yeah.
So I think over the years they've caught on to so much things, gravitated to so much songs that we've recorded, so why not do something specially for them?
Okay.
So Can't Stop Me From Shine is just encouraging them to
love that.
You know, not care whatever endeavors, because it's not necessarily say, you know, sometimes they don't get encouraged in like tracks and music and dance and whatever. Whatever your thing is, just believe in it and stick to it. So it's encouraging them.
Okay, that's good to hear.
I think I have an idea of the topic that Andrew was alluding to earlier when he said that this is a vibe show, an entertainment show. But, you know, we all know what happened this week. Mm-hmm. We two of our very loved entertainers were shot this week.
Yeah.
And we now know that one of them is still battling for life in hospital, and the other is now stable and getting better. That's Matt Cabra.
Yeah,
and we know that
really
O'Neill is still battling for his life.
Yeah, he's still sedated.
And still sedated as well. Stacious, how has that affected the industry? As far as you're concerned,
you know what? I've done a couple of interviews about this issue for the last couple of days, and it's like somebody said to me that all along people have been dying. How come artists haven't been speaking out?
Yes,
but I wouldn't say that's the case. It's like you turn on the TV and you say, "Oh, somebody died here," and you know, you say, "Whoa, sad." But then when it's somebody you know, it hits home. That's when reality sets in. I said, "Listen, you know." It's coming closer to me. You know, am I next?
But I think lot of people would say that for the others who have passed away, they're close to somebody else.
Yeah, I know that, but that's what I'm saying. That's why you're going to find that their family would probably be more
around them at that time.
Right. And lashing out, you know, about it at that time. But
yeah.
I don't know them, so, you know, I wouldn't really be there to kind of testify
so this has no hit close
with.
To home.
Right. And I mean, it just shows you, say, nobody not safe.
Mm.
Because, you know, one time in Africa, say, boy, an artist and somebody have something, it never gonna further them. I say, yo, I'm a bad man that an artist, I'm just trying to find a way for squashing.
Right,
but
right.
But now this is saying nobody is safe and you don't know what's coming next, who's gonna be attacked. And the thing is, motive is still not even worked out right now, right?
But then, Johnny, what does it say about our nation? I mean, she says something very important. Nobody feels safe anymore.
Yeah, well what I'm saying is that we really should have gotten to this point a long time ago.
A long time ago.
People have been dying left, right, and center for years now, and that is why you don't want to use the word that you don't want to say happy, right? But that is why what has happened.
But you're at least glad that people are now more aware, and we hear more people talking about it.
I find that I like the fact that because of what has occurred, more people are talking about violence. And how it affects Jamaica as a whole.
Yeah.
And all our citizens rather than just a few people.
That's right.
And I like the fact that people can now say, all right, what are we going to do?
We,
because unless, as Stacia said, it's happened close to home now. The community of entertainers, musicians have been affected. And I think more now than ever, that community will start to focus on, say, let's start to see what we can do to try and stem and kill and change this whole violence, the mindset of violence, and this rivalry that we have in the country. So, and I think, and that's what I like to see change, Stacious. You know, in the music, our music, we have a very aggressive nature in the music, particularly dancehall music, and clashing and the issue of clashing and gun-toting and things. People talk about it, and people say, yeah, our reality, so we sing about it. But at the same time, our reality is that we have a real problem in Jamaica.
Yeah, but you know what? The sad thing is, over the years, artists have always been blamed. Oh, the songs are violent and it's creating that in society and whatever. Bob Marley and so much other positive artists have always been singing about peace and love and whatever.
So you're going to have
that
good and bad.
Peace.
You have good and bad. And the truth of the matter is you have the good and bad everywhere.
And I think,
and not all societies are as violent as we are.
True. But I think the main problem in our society is that we like to blame other people.
Point fingers.
Because I always say the government is on the government that. But why you not look next to you if you know what I want and you not responsibility, about it? The government where they 10, 15, 20 miles away down the road. They not have eyes in your yard or in your community for know what's
and,
going
and
on.
And of course, so each person you have the mothers, you have the parents who aren't playing their roles. You have the people who, of course, look out against the informer.
Yeah.
If a man go ahead and yeah,
because we do have a culture.
We have an anti-informer culture.
And then we label it as informer.
Right, the truth of the matter is this is a law-abiding citizen who wants law to pervade throughout the society.
Exactly, but we label him
informer. But we label him an informer.
And I found it interesting that okay, we call him informer because them are informer, right. So the time's too up. Chum on the podcast.
It's a station sweet.
Like, what? I just want to stay up on top.
That's right.
but I want to say this about the whole informer thing.
Yeah.
We know now that the alleged perpetrators of O'Neill, one of them was found dead and the other one was arrested.
Mm-hmm.
Now, somebody obviously informed, gave information for them to find this guy or whoever these people were.
Mm-hmm.
So we feel justified to give the information about that.
So being an informer works when it suits.
When it suits whomever.
Okay.
And I'm saying that's something we need to change, you know, Stacia. We need to change that station.
All right.
Crime is a crime.
Yeah, but listen. To me, when me say lash out for an informer, some little trivial things that shouldn't be your business, you're going to run, go and call people and call, draw attention to.
No, that's not what we're talking about.
That's about murder. When
there's a murder factor, you don't really find people. I get up and you don't really find people like a lash out and say, boy, I'm an informer. Can I tell police who murdered a person there? But, like, I mean, of course, if a bad man against bad man, you know, say, I just like friends, I got to try drawing or whatever. Mm. But I don't think the informer factor is that.
All right, listen, Stacia, we're going to have to get you back in here now because I want to finish this conversation with you.
You can't finish the conversation.
I know. I want to finish more than the conversation, you know. Yeah. But listen, tell us if there are shows coming up, if there's anything else that you have in the pipeline, you let us know. Before we log out, eh?
All right. The 15th of May, I'll be in St. Elizabeth for Tyrus Bash.
Mm.
For the rest of this month, I'll be out. I'll be off to New York. I have two shows in New York.
Okay.
Also for the Memorial Weekend.
Will you be in New York Memorial Weekend?
I'll be there, sweetie.
Stacia!
Yeah.
I'll be there.
Then I'll be off to Trinidad.
Yeah!
It's nice.
So it's just the New York with me, the New York.
God, I hope they're going to God now, yeah.
Come into my room.
All right, listen, before Johnny gets into it. We don't want Johnny to start singing. So let us put an end to the podcast right now. We thank you all for logging in today. May 13th with Christopher Johnny Daly
in the building.
And myself, Andrew Hewitt.
Also, of course, we have the voices of Nicole Brown.
Beautiful Nicole Brown.
And we had, passing through, just small way, Miss Michelle from the Big Butter. Hey. Shout out to program producer. Oh, Michelle.
She good for children.
Yeah, she good.
Yeah.
Look here, don't mix me up. Don't mix me.
All right. Let's so and we thank, of course, our very, very special guest Stacia for coming into our room, sharing a bit of time on the podcast with us. Remember, if you want to get in touch with us, you can email yardinfo@gmail.com. That's yaadinfo@gmail.com. Or leave a voicemail at 1-206-333-1769. Johnny.
Distracted. Go on, dog.
Stacia's are distracted. All right. Well, Nicole, can you take us out, please?
Yes, I will. But I just wanted to say that the persons who are on the chat site, we lost our internet feed. And so next week we will get to their questions.
Due to technical issues beyond our control. But we'll get to your questions next week. That's for sure.
Yes.
So this has been the second pilot for Yard Info, the lighter side of Jamaica news.
That's on plane, it's a chat. Look here. Thanks for joining us. Next week.
And thank you all for downloading throughout the week. We are now at 31st place on the Podomatic rankings. Keep tuning in and keep listening. Have a good week.